Because it happens all the time, and why wouldn't it if the Lord is working in our lives? This morning's lesson I've entitled Back to School. Can you guess why? We have a lot of students going back to, well, all students are going back to school. Even homeschoolers are going back to school. And all the things I want to talk about this morning apply to young people in public school. It applies to homeschoolers. It applies to all of us. There's nothing in here that's not addressed to every Christian as a responsibility. It's just that the circumstance of going to school, whether it's at home or in a building, it's a place where your opportunity for Jesus to shine in your life is so real and so appropriate. School is a social environment, and it's one of the most social environments we have, and that's why I think evangelism can be so effective if our young people go to school with the mindset of looking for people to whom they can minister. And so I want to offer six things this morning. That's five on one hand, and okay, this is math class here. Six things that I hope will help young people as they go back to school. And some of these aren't even part of those. These are extras. Pay attention in class. This is not one of the points, but pay attention in class. Your greatest education may not come from the different subjects you study. Your greatest education is going to be with the people you're around, learning to be with people and to love people and to care about people. That's not even point number one. That's just kind of an overall thing about this lesson. And school, whether at home or out in public school, this is a place where you can give Jesus a good name. There's a lot of people in the world saying a lot of horrible things about Jesus and about God and about Bible and about the church, but you can be the means through which people say good things about all of that, and especially God and your Lord Jesus Christ. All right, point number one. We're finally to point number one here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be humble. When you go to school, be humble. There's a reason for that. You're young, expect to do some dumb things. What will you adults say? But amen. We've been there. You're going to do some dumb things. You're still trying to figure out life. You don't even know how to be a human being yet, and you're watching other people seeing, what are they doing? Is that being successful? Maybe I should pattern myself after them. That's not the best advice, to pattern yourself after somebody else, but watch and learn. Learn from people's successes, learn from people's success or failures, but most of all, expect to make some mistakes as you're trying to figure out life. But if you're humble, any mistake you make will be much easier to accept of yourself. Look at what Peter says here. 1 Peter 5. This is what Emil read to us a little bit ago. You younger men. Why do you suppose he said younger men? What comes along with being younger? Younger doesn't mean simply less in age. It means less in experience. The experience in life that will teach you how to be smart and how to be wise. You don't have that yet. That's not a bad thing about you. That's just your circumstance. So while you're young and inexperienced, humble yourself so you can learn what you need to learn along the way. And everything you approach in life, you're going to start approaching as a young adult in school. You're going to learn about romance, and you're going to wonder about romance. How does this work? How do I get a girl? Well, in the first place, you don't get a girl. You just have relationships with people on various levels and for various purposes. But every single relationship you have should be based on two things. Number one, respect. Respect everybody, male, female, old, young, and love. If you respect people and you love people, that's going to be great. And if you'll humble yourself to do those things, you're going to do great in all of life. So humility allows you to make mistakes, to learn, and move on. Be humble. That's what Peter says to us here in chapter 5. And this is what he says with regard to that. God resists the proud. But what's he do for the humble? He gives the humble grace. And Peter is quoting Solomon here. Solomon, wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus. And Solomon said this. And so Peter is quoting this. God opposes the proud people, but he gives grace to people who are humble. So if you want grace from God, be humble. If you want to be able to make mistakes and live with those mistakes, be humble. You're going to make mistakes. That's for sure. Then he says this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you. When? In due time. Exalt you in due time. If you humble yourselves before God, he will raise you up, but it's in due time. When you're young, who is young and not in a hurry? Everybody who's young is in a hurry. I'm a kindergartner, and I can't wait till I'm in first grade. And when you're in first grade, I can't wait to be in third grade. And when you're in third grade, I can't wait to go to college. Well, maybe that's a big jump from third grade to college. But you see where I'm going with this. And all of life, oh, I can't wait till this. How long? You ask Debbie, how long have we been saying, oh, things will slow down pretty soon? They don't slow down. You just keep moving, and you got to move with it. So humble yourself, and God will be with you, and he will exalt you at the proper time. Number two, we're already to number two. Aren't you proud of me? Be a light. Be a light. Jacob, didn't you talk about that? Be a light. Talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at a couple of things from the Sermon on the Mount this morning. But be a light. How did Jesus say to be a light? Let your good deeds be seen by men. Now, that's not so they'll boast on you. That's so they'll say, they're a Christian. It's for the glory of God, not your own glory. And when you're in a social environment, especially in school, I remember what school was like. I got my yearbooks out. They made yearbooks when I went to school. Called them yearbooks. I think they call them annuals now, don't they? Whatever they call them, it's the same. And it's all pictures. And you look at those pictures, and it's the same pictures you'll see in a yearbook today. You could just about to put one year on the other yearbook, and it's the same kids going through the same school, writing the same dumb things in the back that we did. Oh, I'll never forget you. See, what was her name again? A friend forever. Yeah, well, if we ever see each other again. Because when you're in high school, it's especially high school, it seems like everything is so important, and it all comes down to this. It's not that big a deal. What you want to do through all levels of schooling is be as God-like as you can be. Be like Jesus taught you to be, and you'll succeed in so many ways. But be a light. Good deeds, but not just good deeds. Positive speech, a positive attitude. Do your best to go to school with a smile on your face, regardless of what you're facing. That takes strength, it takes courage, it takes deliberacy, but as a young person, go to school with a smile on your face. Even if your school is around the table at the house, be there with a smile on your face. Thank God you've got parents who love you enough to teach you and train you. Thank God you've got parents enough to give you some clothes and a pencil and put you on the bus. Whoever, whatever they're doing, they do it because they love you and they're taking responsibility. You need to smile about that and be happy. So let your light shine to everyone. And when you go out there in the world, remember respect we talked about and loving everybody. Include everybody. This is just, I put a note here. This is just basic Jesus stuff. Is it okay to call it that? This is when we think about Jesus, we think about Jesus. He's always inclusive. He doesn't push anybody to the side. He doesn't ignore anybody. He includes everybody. Don't just think about interacting with the smartest kids and the coolest kids and wish you were one of them. Condescend in a positive way to people that others would say are below your state. Look for the kid who's by themselves. Look for the kid who's struggling in life. Look for the kid who's not as successful. Look for the kid whose clothes aren't the newest or the coolest. And minister. Go to them and be a light. And we'll talk more about ministry later. But be somebody that when your faculty members and your administrators and your fellow students see you, they smile. Be that person. Behave in such a way. Be so positive that people are going to be glad to see you. And you know what that's like when you're going down the hallway and you see one person that's like, oh, turn your head, cut your eyes over to the side. I don't want to see that person. Or, oh, boy, there they are again. Don't be that person. Be the one that says, hey, people wave at you because they know you're going to respect them. You're going to wave back. You're going to speak to them. You're going to treat them with respect. Be a light, and that is how you do it. And remember, anybody can love their friends. Jesus said to love everybody, even your enemies. Anybody can love their friends. Love the ones who are more of a challenge to love. Be that kind of light. Number three, we're on point number three. How many points did I say there would be? So when we finish number three, how far will we be in this sermon? You think halfway, don't you? I got a conclusion. Anyway, point number three. Same thing about being a light, ministering to those who hurt. And I want to pull up Matthew 20, because this is the passage that Jacob mentioned a while ago. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said this, and I want to give you the context of it. Jacob didn't have time a while ago to give you the context, but this is a sermon, so we could take a little more time. This is Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. It says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. Who are the sons of Zebedee? James and John, two very important disciples. When Jesus would go off somewhere, sometimes he would take three guys with him. Who was it always? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. And the mother of James and John is asking Jesus a question here. He said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left. Woo boy. But Jesus answered, it doesn't say that in text. There's no woo boy in text. But when I read that, I go, woo boy. Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they said to him, we are able. Remember what I was talking about regarding humility? This is where they needed some humility. And if you make a dumb statement like this in your life, which I guarantee you will, if you're humble, it'll be much easier to back up on that and eat crow. Crow, I know it doesn't sound good, but crow's really good for you. You'll learn things eating crow that you won't learn eating anything else. And if you young people don't know what that means, ask your parents after the sermon. I'm sure they'll fill you in on how to eat crow. It's good for you. He said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those to whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. 12 apostles, these are the apostles. Two of them, their mom has asked that they be sit on the right hand of Jesus, and the other 10 are getting angry about this, not trusting that Jesus will take care of it. So there's some trouble here amongst these guys. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It's not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great shall be your servant. Serve. You want to go to school and be great at school? Serve other people. Look for those who need to be served, who need to be helped, and you be a servant to them in as much as you possibly can. This doesn't mean you need to adopt anybody, but sometimes all somebody needs is just a smile from you going down through the hallway, or just to say hi. I was surprised to find out how many young people when I went to school had lousy home lives. Wasn't much love at home. But at school, that was one place where there would be some people who would show them some love. You be the person who ministers. You be the person who loves. You be the person who shows kindness. No matter what else is happening, how you're doing in classes, be the one who shows the light of Jesus by ministering to people just like this. And Jesus didn't finish here. He says, the one who wants to be great will be your servant. And then he said, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. As you go to school, you're giving your life up to be educated, but this is the best education you can get among people, is to learn to be a servant. And this will make room for you in the halls of heaven if you will serve like Jesus served. So I encourage you as you go out, be humble, be a light, and be a minister, be a servant to others. Number four, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. This is back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, and this might sound like, oh, I don't know if I'm smart enough to do that, preacher. How much studying will I have to do to be ready to give an answer to those who ask me the reason of the hope that's in me? Because that's what Peter's talking about here. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 14. The whole letter of 1 Peter is talking about Christians being persecuted for their faith. So he says this. 1 Peter 3:14, even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. Do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Be gentle and be reverent. But when somebody says to you, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? You don't have to go through a long, complicated diatribe about what the New Testament teaches and Christian. All you have to say is, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe? Ask them, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Give them an opportunity to confess or to deny. I found that a lot of people are reluctant when directly asked to deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They are reluctant to deny that, which tells them something about themselves. And once you simply say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can add to that very simply and very easily what you probably already believe. I hope you already believe it. Talk to me later if you don't. God raised him from the dead. Now, you'll learn a lot of wonderful things in school, but you won't learn anything that even remotely comes close to approaching the importance of those two facts. Jesus, Son of God. That's who he is. That's his position. And his Father raised him from the dead. You can give a defense for your faith. You don't have to know all kinds of books, chapters, and verses. This is the message of the gospel. This is it. Jesus came as the Son of God. And of course he died, but he was resurrected from the grave. If you believe those two things, you can talk to your classmates about those two things. When they ask you, why are you a Christian? Oh, you Christian church people. Well, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Don't you? Do you not believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you deny that God raised him from the dead? Now, you might run into some who will deny those things. That's okay. That doesn't change the truth. That doesn't change the fact that you stood up for Jesus. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 10? Everybody who confesses me before men, I will. You know it, don't you? I will confess him before my Father. You go to school and find yourself where people are looking down on your faith. You stand up for the Lord. Jesus will stand up for you. That's what he does. Along with that, you're going to have classmates who say some stuff. It's really dumb, some of the things they'll tell you that they believe. You don't have to tell them it's dumb. You don't have to correct it. I don't think God sends his young people into situations where they have to correct all the wrong in the world. What he sent us out to do is to love people and to care about people. And half the time when people tell you stuff like that, they don't even really believe it all themselves. They're experimenting too. They're young too. They're inexperienced too. There are things they don't know and they're trying to figure out life. And if they keep running into people who are Christians, who even in the face of their contradiction will love them and care about them and treat them with respect and not try to convince them otherwise all the time, they'll remember that. Oh, that young person is a Christian. My fellow student treated me with love and respect, even though I told him this thing and he disagreed with it. He still was kind, was nice, served me. He was humble. All of these things. Number five. We're up to number five. Are you excited? Number five. This is the only one that you might see as negative. Refuse to be drawn in. When you go to school, there will be stuff going on, there will be things being said, and it will be very tempting for you to be drawn into the conversation or to what's happening. There's going to be gossip. There's going to be stuff being said that is just not true. Oh, you heard about so-and-so's mom? I heard she's a drunk. Oh, her dad, I think he was arrested for child abuse or something like that. All kinds of things. You're going to hear this stuff in school. And it's, what's the word we use to describe a good bit of gossip? I'm asking to reveal who all the gossipers are. Juicy bit of gossip. It's called juicy. But oh, let me listen to this a little more. You're saying something bad about one of my classmates. This is good because if I hear something bad about a classmate, that'll make me look that much better. That's kind of the way we think, isn't it? That's our twisted logic and our twisted reasoning. Don't be drawn into the gossip. Somebody talking about a classmate, especially if it's a classmate you really don't like in the first place, you can be sucked into talking about them in a negative way. Well, you know, people that talk about people beside you will also talk about you. And there will be places where you're vulnerable, where people could pick out something about you to talk about. But if you refuse to take part in that, it'll be a blessing to you. You're in a group and they're telling the kind of jokes that Christians don't tell, the kind of jokes that Jesus would never tell or be part of. Walk away. Walk away. Just walking away will preach a sermon you could never preach with words. Walk away. You don't need to laugh. You don't need to be part of that. You don't need to stay with that group to be popular. If you want to be popular with Jesus. Walk away. That's another way to confess him. Don't be drawn into this kind of behavior. Don't be drawn into doing the things that the rebels do. Rebels like to disobey rules. Whatever the rule is, they want to break it. Don't be drawn into that. There are personalities in school that could be called dominant personalities. And you may find yourself feeling influenced by them. Do not allow that to happen. Be aware of that. Watch out for it. Stay away from them. Avoid them. There's nothing wrong with avoiding people who are bad influences. What did Paul write to the church at Corinth? Chapter 15, verse 33. Evil companions do what? They corrupt good morals. That's what evil companions do. So don't be a companion of those who talk this way, who speak this way, whose language is not what it should be, and whose topics of conversation are not things that Jesus would be pleased with. Stay away from that. Avoid that. Don't laugh at those jokes. Just refuse to get drawn in. When Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and Ephesus was known for being a pretty rough place, that's where I always bring this up. For 2 hours, the whole town stood in the arena and cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is this idol goddess that doesn't even exist, but great is she." And they were doing that because they were afraid of the gospel. It was a rough town. And Paul wrote this to that church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 or 29. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." What is edification? What's that mean? That means build up. To build somebody up, say things that are positive, that are helpful, that build up, that encourage. Don't say the things that are unwholesome. You ever get the milk out to put on your cereal? By the way, you shouldn't eat cereal, it's bad for you. But you get the milk out to put on your cereal, you sinners, and you notice there's a smell. What's that smell? You gonna drink that milk? Smells bad, doesn't it? Tastes bad, too. Unwholesome. It's worse when it's a piece of meat. Now, you can drink soured milk, and it won't hurt you. But if you eat a piece of bad meat, oh. Unwholesome words, that's bad meat. It stinks. It lets you know. You'll know what the unwholesome words are. Don't use those words. Don't use those topics of conversation. Stay away from all that stuff. Do not get drawn in. We're to point number 6. I can't believe we're to point number 6. What is point number 6? I got to look at my notes here. Oh, there it is. Now, the devil didn't want you to hear number six. I know that because when I printed it out, my perfectly good printer left off half of the words. That must have been the devil. But what's point number six? Point number six is go to school with courage. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. What will tomorrow do? It'll take care of itself. That's back to the Sermon on the Mount. That's what Jacob was talking about a while ago. All these basic principles Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. God will take care of those things. You make your focus the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what all of these things are we've been talking about this morning. This is righteousness. You can go to school and practice righteousness. You can be humble. You can be a light. You can minister to those who have needs that need to be ministered to. You can serve in all of these ways and you will be a light. And you do that out of courage. Fear has kept a lot of people from doing a lot of things, including myself. And you can talk to any adult in here and they will tell you about the things they regret because they were afraid to do the right thing. We want to send you to school with courage. We want you to be not unafraid, because you'll be afraid, but don't let that fear stop you from doing what you know is right. Think about the young people in the Bible who faced situations that were scary, but they kept going, they kept moving ahead, they kept doing what was right. Who doesn't know about David and Goliath? There once was a little boy David down by the babbling brook. What'd he do? There once was a little boy David, five little stones he took. Now why five? I'm not sure, but the text, the scripture says that Goliath had four brothers. You make up your own conclusion. One little stone went in the sling went around and around. One little stone went in the sling went around and around. Round and around and around and around and around and around and around. That little stone went up in the air, and what's the rest of it? The giant came tumbling down, and that's what will happen for you. You go to school, you try to live your life as Christ would have you live it, and giants will come tumbling down. You will succeed in ways that other practices could not help you to succeed. Remember David. Remember Esther. Esther faced death. She was going to go before the king to benefit her people, to find mercy for her people, to find protection for her people. But if she approached the king and he didn't extend his scepter to her, she would be carted off and executed. That's what Esther faced as a young woman, but she faced it anyway. She went before the king, and great things resulted from that. Who else was young and faced difficult, trying circumstances? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We're going to throw you in that fiery furnace if you don't bow down and worship this God. And that's what you'll face in school. People are going to want you to bow down to what they want you to bow down to. Be courageous like these three boys. Hebrew boys off in a foreign land. They might have thought their God had abandoned them, but they didn't think that. They knew their God was with them. And they said, you throw us in the fire. Throw us in there. We won't bow down. They threw them in the fire. Three boys, but when the king looked in, how many people did he see? He saw four. There were four. That's right. Be courageous. Be courageous like David was. Be courageous like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be courageous like Esther was. Be courageous like Timothy was taught to be courageous. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul wrote this to Timothy, encouraging him as a young man to serve with courage. He said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind. That's what you have in Christ. Listen to what he says. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And that's what we are called to do as those who follow Jesus, to suffer for his name sometimes. There's glory to follow, but it won't always be easy up front. But I'm encouraging all of you young people, however you're going back to school, go back to school with these principles. Be humble in your approach to everything. Be somebody who is a light to everybody else. Be somebody who ministers to those who need ministering to. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. What are the two things? Jesus is the Son of God, and his Father resurrected him from the dead. That's all you need to really remember right there. You can learn more, but those two things you stick with, and it'll do you well. Refuse to get drawn into the bad stuff, and go with courage. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. There's the lesson. Can you believe we're done with it already? All right, now for the 20-minute conclusion. Right. I hope this has been beneficial to you if you're a student. I know it's been beneficial to me to just look at these things and think, wow, I'm 68 years old and there's not a thing here I've talked about this morning that doesn't apply to me. We're in school every day, are we not? We're still learning. I talked about young people being inexperienced. There's a lot of things I'm still inexperienced at, and I'm still learning stuff all the time. But one of the things I want everybody to learn is that there is no hope in this world or beyond without Jesus Christ. And so as we conclude this lesson, I want to encourage everybody, if you've not yet named the name of Christ, to please consider doing that this morning, and we will help you do what he's taught us to do, to confess his name, repenting of sin, and be baptized in his name for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation will be yours. Your sins will be washed away. If you'd like to do that this morning, or if we can pray for you, let's stand and sing, and if you'll just come forward while we're singing, we'll help you.